Broadcasting from Lockport, New York, it's time for The Dads Must Be Crazy. Just three guys raising kids and currently hiding from them in an undisclosed tool shed to talk about parenting, pop culture, and penguins. Or something else that starts with a P. It's Craig, the stay-at-home dad historian and hockey enthusiast. Howie, the stay-at-home dad who used to be a reporter when journalism was a thing. And Bobby, the retired Army vet, Trekkie, and gamer, helping to raise three kids in beautiful Western New York. Now, here's the dads.
Welcome to episode 5 of The Dads Must Be Crazy. I'm Craig.
I'm Howie.
And I'm Bobby.
We're at episode 5 already?
I know. It's crazy, isn't it?
Time does fly. This
it
is pretty
does,
cool.
When you're having fun.
Yeah, I guess we're having fun.
We just had Father's Day, which we talked a little bit about Father's Day last week. Well, we tried to, and then Howie went off the rails.
I apologize for that. I didn't realize just how much I spoke, so I apologize. I'll try to keep it back today.
Did you guys do anything special for Father's Day? I know I got your story.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, just, you know, some homemade gifts from the kids, which are always better than anything store-bought. Cooked my own, well, barbecued a little bit, you know, hamburgers and hot dogs and whatnot. Had dinner together as a family and just kind of vegged, you know. It's pretty relaxing.
We went out to breakfast Sunday morning, Father's Day morning. My middle daughter and I ran a couple errands later that morning. Got two very personalized items, one from each of my daughters. They were like ceramic things.
Attitude from your son.
A lot of attitude from my son.
I had that from my oldest. Better than normal on Sunday, though.
He got me something as well. Rainbow kitchen knife thingamabob, like as seen on TV thing. So he likes doing that stuff, and that's fine.
He has QVC and a credit card, so.
He's at my in-laws very frequently, so was probably over there. Probably found it at one of the stores they were at, and got a nice t-shirt. You know the Jurassic Park logo?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's one of those t-shirts that has that logo, but instead of Jurassic Park, it says Fatherhood, and the slogan reads, just another walk in the park. Got that from my daughter. I'm like, that's perfect for me. That's about right.
What about your lovely bride? She get you anything?
Well, no, she was the one who took the kids to get the stuff, so I guess that counts. So, and then everybody just kind of did their own thing on Sunday, and then I played a board game with the one who's in the background occasionally making noise during this recording. And we sat down and played dominoes.
I love playing dominoes.
Me and my daughters. And then I realized, oh, man, I haven't played in so long. I forgot how to play.
We're like old dudes.
How do you forget how to play dominoes?
Well, I only had 28, and I was having an issue in how to play. And I was like, this is not right. This is not good. So then we kind of basically put it away, and then we played Trouble because that was easier.
Yeah.
So. And it was a lot easier for the 5-year-old to keep up with Trouble than it would have been for dominoes.
It's like two games I don't think I can ever forget how to play: dominoes and spades.
I've never played spades.
Played so much of, like, on deployments in the Army. Dominoes and spades, they rule the tents or wherever, you know, you and your soldiers are living, and you just try to make a box and play on top of the box.
Question regarding card games. What about euchre?
Never played.
Because I know there's a lot of people who have, like, people who have euchre tournaments, and it's like this big thing. People have attempted to teach me, and I have not picked up on it. I just get confused, and then I get more confused and more confused. I'm like, you know what, the heck with this, just go play, I'll watch.
How I learned how to play euchre, my grandmother was a card player. Mm-hmm. So they played euchre at the holidays, and so finally when they felt I was old enough, I got to sit in, and my grandmother played against me and ruthless. The best way to play, it's like teaching a kid how to swim by throwing them into the water.
Yes.
Exactly how I learned how to play euchre.
Trial by fire.
Yeah.
I remember learning the first.
I didn't win for 4 years, man.
But you kept coming back. So yes. Apparently grandma was doing something right.
Well, that's awesome. That's like, I think one of the first card games anybody is taught. Like there's two or three card games that most people get taught very early on. Go Fish.
Yep.
War.
Yeah.
That one is pretty popular because you only got, you know, you split it up at, and that was like 1, 2, 3 draw, you know.
52 pickup.
That one is, everybody plays that. But Uno.
My kids had no idea about that, and they go, we want to play cards. I go, okay, are you going to play? Yes. If I'm dealing, you have to do what's next. Okay. 52 pickup. I threw the cards up in the air and walked out of the room. And they complained. Awesome. And I'm like, it's like,
you agreed to play.
It's like you guys and everything else in this house.
Mm-hmm.
What was the other one? Like Rummy?
Oh, Rummy. Uno. It's not, you know, aces through, you know, ace, two, three, all the way to king and, you know, queen, jack. But Uno was fun. And one of the things that happened within a couple weeks, I honestly don't remember whether I was coming back from here or coming back from somewhere around here. But there was a garage sale on my way home. I stopped. I'm like, oh, what is this? For a buck, I picked up the board game, or the game, if you will, Uno Dominoes. I'm like, this looks fun. I'll have to figure out how to play this. So
we have Uno decks. We have a stack probably 4 or 5 inches high of Uno cards, because we keep getting more and more cards. We lose a couple cards, and we'll find cards that somehow end up outside. And so we just keep adding to the deck. So we have these huge decks of Uno cards when we play Uno, because we usually play, there's a six of us. Mm-hmm. So we need extra cards anyway. Otherwise, you're shuffling every third turn.
If you guys ever played, I love how Uno has evolved over the last couple years. Uno now even has its own Twitter account. I don't know if you guys have seen that.
They only have one tweet, though.
They've got a couple, actually. Yeah.
But you can actually... have you seen the Uno...
Oh, okay, I get it now. Yeah.
Have you seen the Uno drinking game?
No.
No?
I just saw that on Facebook, and it was probably just a meme, but, you know, it had the Uno shot glasses in the four colors. If you get skipped, then you have to drink. Mm-hmm. If you reverse it, the person who got reversed has to take a drink. If you yell Uno and, you know, it's a false Uno, then you have to drink. And then there's something else, and I'm like... Why do we take these wholesome family games and attach alcohol to them? You know, these are games that we play with our kids.
Like, I'm sorry, why do we? Or why, like, why is this going on, or why don't we?
Why do we?
Okay.
Like, why do we do these things? Like, this is a wholesome family game. Mm-hmm. I'm sure all of us have played it with our kids. I know I play it with my kids.
Yeah.
I don't want the stigma of alcohol attached to it.
I completely agree.
There are just certain things that I'm like, okay, alcohol doesn't need to be involved in.
No, I agree with that. I mean, now, if, you know, you're a young married couple and you want, you know, another couple or two to come over for game night and you want to attach a drinking game to it, then fine. But by and large, it's a family game. So I agree with you completely. You don't need to attach it, but having the option out there if you're not with kids at the moment, that could be fun, too.
That could be fun.
In my house, we have regular Uno. We have two other versions that I have not yet broken out and played with my kids. Uno Flip, which is a new one where if you play the right a certain card, your cards get flipped over and you play the faces that are on those cards or on that side of the card. And then there's also Dos, which is the new version of Uno, which
I saw that. I haven't played it yet.
I picked that up at one point. And we have Uno Attack, which is the one where if you can't have a card, you push the button and it may shoot out. Like, if you get a draw two, you push the button twice, you could wind up with no cards. You could wind up with a half dozen cards spit out at you because it shoots cards out at you. And there have been times when my kids and my wife and I will be playing Uno Attack and we'll push the button, one card will come out. If it's a draw four, you got to push the button four times. Sometimes it shoots out two and then two more and then 16. I mean, it's a really a lot of fun because you never know what's going to happen. So far, that is my favorite version to play because there's a little bit more of an excitement level thrown in. But if we're talking wholesome family games, Bobby, is there anything more wholesome than Monopoly?
That game is evil and does not get played in my house.
I love, 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 love Monopoly. No one will play it with me. I'm ruthless. My brother and I got into a fist fight over the game, which seems to be a typical thing. I watch Facebook.
Oh, God, it's great.
I taught Corlise how to play Monopoly, and she has not lost since. She's even more ruthless than me. So back to the Father's Day thing, I had a dance recital that I had to go to.
Oh, right. You were talking about that last time we were together. Yeah.
And that was pretty good. In the second act, we had 7 of 9 dances, so we were pretty much so focused on the stage the entire time. The very last dance was a jazz dance set to Vogue by Madonna.
Interesting.
And it was fantastic. Easily my favorite dance of the night.
Really?
It was really, really, really well done.
That is cool. That is cool.
And that was from our sponsor, Classical Ballet of Western New York.
Right.
I'm not saying that just because they sponsored. I danced, so I like watching dance, and that one was definitely, it was worth the price of admission there.
Cool.
It was fantastic. Cool. And then afterwards, we ordered out dinner for Father's Day. Mm-hmm. Besides, because it was recital day, and it was 2 o'clock, the dance recital was at 2 o'clock, we had to be there at 1. The house was destroyed with getting ready. We had to get this makeup. Our hair's got to look this way. So I said, you know what? Instead of trying to make dinner around this mess, let's just order. And now we're waiting for it to be delivered. We'll pick up.
Makes sense.
We did that. And then after we ate, the girls and I played Minecraft, I found a website where you can put in your own seed number for Minecraft that's supposed to give you a specific world. And so I'm reading off the seed number for Corlys to put into the computer, into the Xbox. And I accidentally transposed two numbers. And I'm going, well, this doesn't look like what it's described on the website. And she goes, oh, my God, there's gold here. There's diamonds. And so it worked out great, I guess.
I wish we could all just punch a couple extra, you know, wrong numbers and just wind up with some extra gold and diamonds just showing up. That would be great. That would solve a lot of problems.
It would. Flowers don't always work.
No. No. No, they don't.
My wife doesn't like flowers. She likes them when she gets them, but she doesn't want me to go out of my way to get flowers.
My wife doesn't care for diamonds.
Really?
Yeah. She's not a diamond person. She'd rather have colored stones, sapphires and rubies and stuff like that. So I guess more semi-precious stones than anything else.
Wendy lost her diamond out of her engagement ring. Either, I think Corlys was really young, and she was in the bathroom, cleaning the bathroom or doing something, and she hit her hand on the side of the sink, and the diamond popped out of the setting, and it went down the drain or something. And my dad came over, took the drains apart. They shot back the whole bathroom, see if they could find it. Never could find it. So she was a little upset about that. And it took me until either right before or right after Josephine was born, so 3 or 4 years later, save up enough money so that way I could replace that diamond. So I went down to the jewelry store downtown, down to Mills, and I was working with my friend Brian. Went to school together since kindergarten, so we've known each other forever. And the owner there sometimes goes, do I need to separate you two? Because we'll get laughing so much while we're trying to do business. And I go, well, I have the old, after a couple of weeks of working with him, I go, I have the old setting. I don't know if we can put a new diamond in it. Would that be cheaper? And he's like, that'd be a heck of a lot cheaper. So I went and I stole the old engagement ring without the diamond out of her jewelry box, took it down to Mills, and we were working with it. And I go, hey, can you do such and such a thing? He goes, yeah. So I ended up getting a nice new diamond for her on Mother's Day. And I had gotten, they do an Easter egg hunt every year where you can get precious stones and other gift certificates and stuff. Well, I got a precious stone. So what I did was I had that made into a ring also, and I gave her that ring with the other ring underneath it.
Nice.
Yeah. So she was really, really happy then.
Nice. Very nice. I'm
still got game.
Oh, yeah.
No, that's cool. That's very cool.
So the cool thing about the dance recital being over, I have a short reprieve from driving my kids everywhere.
That school's sounds like a great segue.
Yeah.
At least you're not taking them on a segue.
Right. I could. They could have stolen Rick's at the drive-in the other night.
That's yeah.
So all winter from September when dance starts, we have bowling, we have lacrosse, we have dance, we have Scrooge, we have the high school musical, we have the middle school musical, we have the elementary school musical. And then we have one of them who tutors on Tuesday afternoons at the library, in addition to having dance 6 days a week. So we drive all over the place all the time. Like mom and dad taxi services, which is what we wanted to talk about today.
Yeah.
Now, almost all of ours is in Lockport. When they moved the Y, it made it a little more difficult.
Where's the Y for you now?
Now it's out behind Walmart, where the old Walmart was.
That's still so close compared to everything. Yeah.
But when it was downtown, we would go to the Palace for Scrooge. Directly across the street is the Y. A block down the road is the dance studio. So I would drop off. I'd go to one parking lot, drop off three kids, and then I'd go to the library, which is next door to the Y, or I'd walk back to the hockey arena to watch hockey or have a beer at the penalty box. So everything was perfect. Now it's a little bit more difficult with Y out in the town, but, and Bobby, you have the same thing. Everything's pretty much so in the same general area.
Yeah, I mean, we've got YMCA stuff to do. I got one that's in soccer, so that's...
Where does he play soccer? Is it the Keenan?
Yeah, he did it at the Keenan, and I think he's going to do the outdoor league here soon, so that's here in Lockport somewhere. Obviously, when drama season rolls around, I've got one in junior high and one in elementary that are both into drama. So that's going on. And then we just picked up karate. Now that's two nights a week on top of all that. And so when two of my kids who are in drama, actually all three of them between the two in drama and one in soccer, you know, doing those one and two nights a week, that means I'm going to have to add, you know, bump one of the karate days to a Saturday. So now,
or
you know,
have one of those cool friends who has kids in the same grades and can pick up kids and stuff.
Carpool. Yes, because we have done that.
Yes.
Which is really nice. It's like, oh, thank you, sweet baby Jesus, because now I can I can just take a 5 minute, you know, I can take a breather real quick.
Right.
Because it does get hectic.
It does.
Oh, yeah.
And then you're like, well, how am I going to coordinate dinner? And you're trying to go, okay, well, if I thaw it now, I can cook it now, but only two of the three kids will be able to eat, because then the other one won't be able to because they're doing this. It's not just the busyness of driving the children, but it's like, how are we going to feed everybody, you know, try to maintain that family dinner that goes on? Because growing up for me, dinner time, you know, was where the family sat down and we all talked about our day. And we spent 30 to 45 minutes, sometimes even an hour, at the table just eating. And when you were done eating, you just kind of sit there and munch on leftovers and just BS for a while. With everybody going to the Four Winds, it kind of makes it hard to get that quality family time during the week. I guess it gets easier, though, because on Saturday, you only have that one lesson of karate for the four of us. And then you have the rest of the weekend to kind of do something. And then you're like, oh, Sunday, please get here so I don't have to do anything.
Thankfully, you live in Lockport, so everything's fairly close. Now, Medina's a little bit of a different story.
Yeah, yeah.
Because not everything is in Medina.
For people listening to our podcast, to give you a sense of where exactly Craig and Bobby live in Lockport. Lockport is a city. How many people in the city? About
21,000.
All right. Medina's, I'm just past the village line. If you combine the two towns that make up the village of Medina, and I'm in one of those towns, if you combine it, you might have about 10, maybe 11,000 people. But most of that is centered in the village, and the village only has about 6,000 people. Medina is, for all intents and purposes, if you were to draw a straight line from Buffalo, New York to Rochester, New York, and then right in the middle of that line, draw a straight line dead north, that's where Medina is. We're truly in the middle of two cities, but we're so far away from each one that you got to drive at least 10 to 12 miles in either direction to get whatever you need from a big
box
store.
And I know that you're right in the middle, because when you're coming up the Lindenville Road up to 104, the sign says 57 miles to Rochester, 58 miles to Buffalo.
Yeah. So we're seriously, you can't get more middle than that, right? So for me, playing dad's taxi service, really, the summer's a nice respite, but for and I apologize for a little bit of noise. My little one has decided that she wants a snack. So, Craig, while I'm talking about this, if you have any snacks to maybe offer to keep her satiated, that'd be great.
Trying to think what we do have. I know what she wants, but I'm pretty sure they're all gone.
Oh, okay. But anyway, I'll talk loud enough so that you can hear me. But the only thing going on this summer, for sure, is I'm going to need to be driving from Medina at least once and possibly twice a week towards just outside of Buffalo for my son to continue his bar mitzvah training, because his bar mitzvah is Labor Day weekend, which is the last weekend in August / first weekend in September. That's how they fall this year. So that's the only true dad's taxi thing going on this summer that I for sure have to do. But during a school year, oh my goodness, it's ridiculous, because with my wife working the insane amount of hours she works.
And she works late some nights, doesn't she?
She works late frequently. A lot of it falls on me. Now, we're fortunate in that one of my middle daughter's friends, and I say friends now because at one point they were classmates, but her friend has now moved over to the neighboring school district. But the point remains, one of her friends, her mom is able to take my daughter to one of the dance classes, which is great. Combined, my two daughters take a total of four dance classes, although my older one decided she wanted to add a third. So now we have five dance classes. Okay, that's going to be spaced out during the week. Now, whether some of them back-to-back during the day, we'll find out. Typical week for me during the school year would be getting up Sunday morning and leaving the house no later than 7:45 in the morning to get to the temple we belong to for my kids to go to Sunday school. Sunday school lasts until 11 o'clock. It goes from 9 to 11. Depending on the weekend and depending on the weather, we might stop at my grandmother's to have lunch. My grandmother's 94 years old, lives on her own in Amherst, and she's still all there, still got her all her marbles. She's moving pretty slow, but she's still all there and on her own. Good for her. So we might have lunch with her, might do some shopping, whatever. So that's what Sunday is like, because Sunday we got most of the rest of the day. Monday comes around. Monday, this past school year, the little one, who insisted on a snack a minute ago, had a dance class from 6 to 7. So I was in charge of taking her to and from that dance class. Okay. Tuesdays were unique because Tuesdays I had to pick up my son from school and I had the little one with me. And my middle daughter would go with her friend to her house, but I would take my son to Batavia, where he was a student at the local community college in an advanced program for 7th and 8th graders. That class started at 3:45 and got out at 10 after 6, so we were never even home until close to 7 o'clock on Tuesdays. By the time I got home Tuesday, I then had to first pick up my middle daughter from her dance class, and then we would figure something out for dinner. Frequently, as we've spoken about previously, crockpot meal was the easiest thing to do. Wednesday would be my wife's day off, but I think there was a dance class during that time in the evening, plus Craig and I would be on, we're on the same bowling team, so I'd have bowling in the evening. So I wouldn't have to do a lot of taxiing around on Wednesdays, which was refreshing. Thursday was another dance class. Friday was typically a pretty okay day, but then Saturday morning would come around, and my two older ones were in bowling, and my littlest one was also in dance class. Now, thankfully, most of everything dance-wise is local.
So but bowling, you're pretty close to the bowling alley.
Well, I'm, you know, a hop, skip, and a jump away from the bowling alley. If I got to be there at 7, I could leave at 5 to 7. I mean, I'm that close. But if Sundays are a long drive, anytime that there's anything religiously oriented, and I'm not like an uber religious guy, but I was raised a certain way, and I'm trying to instill some of that into my kids. So that's the longest ride. And then Batavia is the opposite direction. And it's also not the easiest. You can't, there's no straight way to go. Dad's taxiing service is always something to do. There's always somewhere to go. Somebody's always got to be somewhere. Plus, with my son now joining the marching band, I got to worry about making sure he's at band practice. I got to worry about making sure he gets picked up from band practice. Most of the time, I'm doing this on my own because there's very few people I know. Well, let me rephrase that. I know enough people. There's very few people I trust at this point to make sure that they're there on time. And there's even fewer people my son would trust or my daughter would trust to make sure that they get to where they need to go.
I was just looking at my calendar. I was going to point out a typical week without sports. This is just a typical week. So Monday, Patience has dance from 6 to 8:30. And on Tuesday, Wendy gets home late, she goes to her grandparents' house. Patience tutors from 4 to 5 at the library. JoJo dances from 4:30 to 5:30. And then Patience dances from 6:30 to 7:30. Wednesday, we have dance from 6:30 to 7:30 for Josephine and 6:30 to 9 for Patience. Again, Lockport. Thursday, JoJo has dance 5:30 to 6:30. Corlys and Patience have dance at 6:30. Corlys only dances for an hour. Patience dances until 9 o'clock. Friday, we go to Clarence for dance from 6 to 7 for up on Main Street in Clarence for Patience to go to dance. Saturday morning, we have 2 hours of dance starting at 10:30 for Josephine. That's just dance. And when they have specials, like they have Midsummer Night's Dream or the Nutcracker, it's Sunday all day.
You know what? I'm going to get you a t-shirt that says Dance Dad. And you can wear it proudly.
Yes.
I'm just like,
I'm
goodness.
I'm surprised you haven't bought one for yourself yet.
Yeah, typical week for us when we're busy is Monday through Friday. Each day is drama for my oldest and my middle child. And then one day a week, soccer is in there. So normally it was like Mondays and Wednesdays, I think, for Mo. And then for Maddie, it was like Tuesdays and Thursdays. And then Garrett was like Fridays or something for soccer. But it was all 5 days after school were taken up.
From Thanksgiving forward, we have sports.
Yeah, and, you know, like I said, now we got to add karate to the mix of that, which is you can go on a Monday through Thursday or a Saturday, but you should go at least twice a week. Mm-hmm. And so now I got to figure out how to fit all of my kids in there. I'm not worried about me getting there because, I mean, aside from being a full-time student and working out on my own, I can go to karate whenever I want to.
Yeah.
But I want to make sure that my children are going there because, you know, my oldest absolutely loves it. It's doing, you know, wonders for her at this point. And I want to make sure that she still goes. And we were just talking about it last night. Actually, I was taking her to karate and I was like, hey, you know, I know you got drama and stuff coming up and she wants to do chorus as well. And so does my little one. So
did my kid talk yours into chorus?
Probably. And so now between drama and chorus for my two girls, now I got to figure out how to get karate in there with them. My son is adamant about doing soccer again. Get him into karate. And I'm like, well, some of these days you're just not going to be able to go. So I'm probably going to be at the dojo 4 to 5 days a week taking kids individually and then also training there myself. And so I'm like, well, the family dinner's just going to go to crap. Make some meals on Sunday, let them cool, put them in the freezer and pop them in the oven during the week and make things easy on yourself.
That's what Wendy does on Sunday mornings, plans the week's meals.
Or you do a crock pot. Dump everything in a crock pot and hit go.
That there is that. I just want to throw this out regarding karate from my own personal experience. I'm not sure I ever mentioned this on this. I'm pretty sure I haven't mentioned on this podcast.
You have a belt.
No, black and canvas. Yeah, but when I was younger, I want to say from second or third grade all the way through fifth or sixth grade, I took karate lessons in Virginia Beach. It was and I kid you not, a Chuck Norris karate studio. So I was taught Chuck Norris karate, and there is no other kind of karate in my mind. And Miyagi-Do, I might allow that one. And I made it just high enough, just beneath blue belt. I went from white to gold to purple to orange, and I was a couple hours shy of a blue belt.
We did Taekwondo for a little bit, Wendy and I. They had when we still had Washington Hunt open, they had one of their fitness days. I call it Tommy Chong's Kung Fu Palace, but it's Master Chong's Taekwondo up on Transit Road.
I've driven by that many times.
They did a thing there, and then they gave out gift certificates for families. Well, we're a big family, so they lost their asses on ours because, you know, you pay the $40, you get a month of Taekwondo, and you can go as many times as you want. And so I still have, I call it a robe. I know it's not the right word. Still have the robe upstairs and all that. And Wendy went with some friends of ours who did the same thing. They took their whole family and did it, and we loved it. The problem is we don't like driving up there in the wintertime.
Yeah,
if they had a local Taekwondo thing, Wendy would be all over it.
There's a Taekwondo studio in Medina.
15 miles up this Erie Canal or 15 miles down that Erie Canal.
I'm just saying, there is one.
I was like, y'all should just go to the karate dojo I go to right here in Lockport. It's family friendly. It's fun. It's big. It's got to the point now where they have heavy bags that you push a button and the heavy bags come down from the ceiling.
Nice.
So you don't have to pick a heavy bag up and hook it up. And then when they're done
I talk like this? When I'm...
You absolutely can. I mean, I'm sure they'd get a quick laugh. So last night I took my daughter, and one of the things they were doing is that, you know those big Bob XLs, the half torso dummy?
Yes. Yes.
So they had to go up and they had to punch...
They're what do you call it? They're modeled after Rich.
Yeah. So they had to put... They had to walk up to Bob and say, "Hi, how are you doing today, sir?" And then punch him in the face. And then they had to do a little combat roll on a mat. And then they had, you know how the football players do their feet in the ropes? They had to do that in rings. And then they had to do a cartwheel. Then they had to do a front kick on a bag, low crawl with a rope, pull themselves up, touch the other heavy bag. Then they had to run and jump over some hurdles. And then they had to run across, you know those dummy bags that you see a lot of like wrestlers and stuff get on when you're trying to learn body positioning on the ground?
Yep, okay.
They had those out, and then the kids had to run across those. And they did that all night just for agility. And then they did that for about 25 minutes.
You're working your cardio there a lot.
They were. And then the last 20 minutes or 25 minutes was technique. The kids all enjoyed it. They all had a smile. All of the senseis that were teaching the kids were absolutely fantastic. They all love what they do. And I was just like, see, this is why I signed my kid up for that. Because my kid is naturally shy, my oldest. And now she's in there and she's just, I'm not saying she's blossoming, but she's not as shy as she used to be.
She's not shy when she's here.
Well, that's because she's comfortable. You know, she has a certain comfort level, but... There, like,
when and either's your youngest one. He's not shy when he's here either.
He's never shy. He doesn't
post
care
about Bobby's youngest one. I'm like, man, he's got nothing to worry about with this one.
No, he's brutal, you know. but no, I mean, it's done wonders for her. Like the first couple of lessons, you know, she you know shed a tear because she's shy and nervous, and now she's just like, you know, cracking jokes with some of the kids in her class, and she's laughing and joking with the senseis, but she's also learning her techniques, and you know, we practice at home, so it's a good thing as well. It's like, it's an activity I get to do with my kids, and I absolutely love it.
I can remember when I was taking karate, when I was almost like 8, 9, 10 years old, my brother was going, and he was in tow with my mom, so it was the one-way mirror type thing.
Mm-hmm.
So like the parents could sit behind the glass, and if you're in the dojo or in the whatever, you were looking at a mirror so that you could make sure your technique was good. And the senseis are like, make sure, you know, I'm gonna get a punch and go, yeah. Like, so we would go like, yeah. And then after I would hear my little brother in the audience go, yeah, like it was just screaming something. And sometimes they would actually make fun of it, like, come on, scream like I always, brother. You scream like you mean it. Yeah. And so we do it again. And then he would go, yeah. Like, he was always out screaming us, and we were hearing him through the mirror. It actually became a bit of a running joke.
Doing the Van Damme.
Yeah. Oh, he was all up, and you know, he was basically a 4-year-old version of, you know, Frank Dukes in Bloodsport. That's exactly what he was. He was just like, yeah, yeah. It was funny.
I know
he's doing his Kia.
Yeah, I know that Howie's heard this story. I'm going to tell it again because I know you have not. When Lockport had the Express here in the Cornerstone Arena, I had the smart idea that they were doing a conditioning camp. I said, I've been doing P90X for a year. I can do this conditioning camp. And I was 40 or 41, maybe 42, somewhere in there. And so these kids are between 16 and 19. I said, I can do the same thing that they can do. I did the whole time, everything. A couple of the exercises, I stopped early because I just couldn't keep up with it. But I did, I bet you I did 95% of all the things. Those hockey players, they were pretty impressed. And I was impressed with myself until the next morning.
Oh, yeah, when you try to get out of bed, yeah. And you're like, oh, dear God, I can't move.
It's like one of those videos about somebody the day after leg day. It's like, hi.
I didn't know that your toes could individually hurt.
That was like me after doing leg day in the gym, you know, doing squats and then leg presses and all kinds of anything you can think of for the leg. A lot of heavy weight. And then you wake up the next day and you're like, man, I'm sore, but you can still move. It's always the second day after the workout that gets me.
Yep.
I have a basement and two stories in my house. So I have a 2-story house with a basement. So I've got two sets of stairs. There are times when I'll have to go from the basement all the way up to the top, you know, all the way up to the second story, 2 days after a leg workout. And I'm like the most miserable human being in the world because I can't get my legs to move.
Regardless of leg day or not leg day, I usually have a beer break before I make the second flight.
It's a quick detour to the refrigerator.
Yeah, exactly.
I got to get that beer. I might actually have one tonight when I get home from
They say it's
karate.
Good after a workout. Like, if you talk to marathoners or 5K runners, they'll have an orange juice or a beer after they've done running.
One of the best post-workout beers, they said, is actually Amstel Light because it's low in carbs. The alcohol content's like 3.2 or 3.5, so you're not going to... Dude, you can drink a 12-pack and not get loaded. Right. I mean, in all honesty, it's pretty good flavor, but it's low in carbs. Alcohol content's not low, but... Or not high, rather. But beer is actually good for your bones because of the silica.
And it's good for your cholesterol. One beer a day, they say. Now, you can't save them up for Friday.
No.
But, you know, one beer a day, they say, is good. It's like wine. Like, a glass of wine a day is good for your heart. But, like, again, you can't save it up for one night.
Yeah, see, we used to do that in the Army. So you would save up a week's, and then you would end up drinking that week's beer all in one night. And then you would drink the next week's beer as well. You know, so now you got a 12-pack in your system and you're just tore up. But, oh, thank God I don't do that no more.
Kids are crazy sometimes, aren't they?
Just a bit.
Oh, they, yeah.
Normally my youngest is pretty self-sufficient. Today is not one of those days.
She did not like the apple Pop-Tart. I can't say I blame her.
I never buy apple. I buy good flavors.
It came flavors. In a multi-pack.
Oh, okay. I don't buy multi-packs with bad flavors.
Yeah. Either way, it's your fault. You picked a bad flavor.
Typically, we don't have them around, but for the last several weeks that she's been here, we've had Pop-Tarts, and they've been left on the counter. So now she wants Pop-Tarts when she comes to our house.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, no, my family will either get the cinnamon, chocolate chip, or chocolate fudge. And if my...
She was asking for strawberry.
She might eat that one. I don't normally buy that one.
Cinnamon, chocolate fudge, strawberry. Those are good Pop-Tarts right there. Yeah. I think the cinnamon is my favorite.
Yeah, the brown sugar cinnamon is normally like right up there. It's got to be frosted. Give me the frosted one, please.
Yeah.
I personally do not mind, but I will not go out of my way to get the cookies and cream or the hot fudge sundae. I'm like, okay, it's fine. There's
the
cinnamon.
S'mores one isn't too bad.
S'mores
either.
Is not bad. Cinnamon roll is not bad. There is a Nutter Butter one, like a peanut butter one, like chocolate and peanut butter. That's not bad.
I bought a Fifth Avenue candy bar today. They're hard to find, but they're like Butterfinger but peanut butter.
Mm.
Really good. I love them.
Yeah, I had a Snickers earlier. I didn't want to be hangry during the podcast.
You wanted to be
podcast.
Yourself. You're not yourself if you don't. If you
on my way back from my appointment, I grabbed Polish sausage for lunch for myself, and I got a candy bar, of which I ate in the car ride from the store to here.
That's almost an entire topic for a show, is the, you know, the grocery store check out aisle candy bars. Which ones are good? Which ones are bad? Which ones
eat them out of the aisles because they're overpriced. They usually go over to get the king size ones in the candy aisle because they're cheaper.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, or you could talk about the trash you put in your body as you're doing dad's taxi service.
Oh, God.
Because you don't have to eat or, you know, you don't have time to eat. So you grab whatever you can. And I mean, ranging from fast food to candy bars to I'm going to, you know, put this energy drink in my body because I'm on fumes right now. You know, and so literally all you're doing with that is just putting more fumes in your body.
The amount of coffee that I go through in a week when I'm driving during the school year is a lot. I probably have way too many donuts, but of course I'm running around so much, so I still hide it well. So
yeah. My downfall in the car during the taxi service, Pringles.
I'm not a big chip guy.
No?
Believe it or not. Like, if I'm going to get a candy bar, most of the time what I'll do is I'll get like a protein bar from Power Bar. It's got like the 20 grams of protein in it. It's a little bit healthier of an option because it's also got vitamins in it.
Oh, I definitely need to eat healthier than Pringles. There's no doubt about it.
I mean, get the chocolate peanut butter protein Power Bar. It's not bad. It's like $2, 20 grams of protein. Usually get that.
Is it oatmeal in it, though?
I don't think so, no.
Okay. Got to check my gluten-free stuff.
Yeah, it may or may not be gluten-free. I don't know. And then usually pick up like an unsweetened like black tea with lemon from like Pure Leaf or a bottle of water or something. I have pretty much cut soda out of my diet.
Now that summer's here and the sun is shining, finally the sun is shining, I can make sun tea. And I'll like, if they would let me, I would take that intravenously 24 hours a day. Sun tea is just like...
It's the best. I love it.
I'm sorry. I should know what this is, so I'm going to be stupid and ask.
Okay, what I do is my grandmother had these old glass jars. They were maybe a foot tall. They were old Miracle Whip jars from years and years ago. And so you fill it with water. You put a whole bunch of tea bags in it. You put the top back on. You set it out on your front porch where the sun can shine on it all day. And it brews your tea for you. And so then... It's warm, so you put it in the refrigerator. Mm. And then when it gets cool, when it's chilled, you pour it over ice, a little bit of lemon, a tiny little bit of I put a little bit of sugar in it.
See, if you're going to put a little bit of sugar in it, you got to do it while it's warm so the sugar still melts.
Yeah.
Otherwise, because if you do it while it's cold, all the sugar settles down at the bottom.
Well, that's when you stir it a little bit.
Yeah,
that's like putting sugar into a flavored iced coffee. You wind up tasting the crystals of the sugar.
I don't mind that.
Okay.
But I'll drink a glass of sun tea just endlessly. The problem is it's a diuretic, so you get a lot of exercise drinking sun tea because you run about 15 times to the bathroom during the day.
During the winter, I will drink a lot of hot tea. I keep so much loose leaf and bagged tea at home as it is, but I don't drink as much of it during the summer because it's, a hot beverage. I will drink plenty of it in the wintertime, probably multiple brew kettles a day.
But you drink coffee in the summer, right?
I drink coffee all the time.
So why would you not drink hot tea in the summer?
Because I have to go out of my way to make sure the tea is brewed properly, whatever. Coffee's just like,
Find yourself a glass gallon container and some tea bags, put it on your front porch, and then you're good to go. It's sun tea. So it's what you got
to
do.
Yeah, like we have you can go to any grocery store in the South, right? Like, because that's where I was born and raised at, was Texas. So you can go to HEB, right? It's the southern version of Wegmans. Yeah, it's the same exact thing.
I love Wegmans.
I love Wegmans here. Too.
Dear Wegmans, come to Lockport. Thank you.
Pretty please. But you buy the glass tea jar, and then you fill it with water. You dump 4 tea bags in there from Lipton or Louisiana or whoever you prefer. And then you just set it out in the sun all day. But you want to cover it with like some saran wrap or something so nothing gets into the tea as it's brewing in the sun all day.
That's why those old lids that my grandmother had, you just screw the lid right back on.
What I need to find is those... It's almost like a huge pickle jar with a plastic lid, but it has the little pour spout on it. And you can make tea in those, your sun tea in those. And then instead of, you pull your tea bags out, obviously you squeeze them and mix it all up. And then instead of, you set it in the fridge, you open the door and you just push the little button and it pours in your glass.
They've got some of those larger ones at some of the bigger box stores right now. I've seen a couple of them.
My grandmother used to have a couple of these things. So she'd get up in the morning, make her first thing a tea, put it out in front of the garage door. That would brew up by late morning, and she'd have a second one ready to go. So she'd trade them around. And she had one from the night before. I mean, so, I mean, that's what we drank at my grandmother's house. You drank water or you drank iced tea.
The iced tea that gets drunk at my house is the Crystal Light variety, and I'm okay with that.
I can't drink it. That aspartame, that aftertaste, I taste it.
I will say this, though. The one thing that I am going to be making it again later this summer, I got to buy the refill kit online. My little one is really not being very cooperative today.
That's one of the things about being a dad.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Anyway.
Is she watching the trucks outside?
Yeah, watch the trucks. You guys have heard of like the brew yourself, you know, the brew your beer at home type kits, mm-hmm. like the Mr. Beer and whatever. There's a Mr. Root Beer. And I bought two Mr. Root Beer kits a couple years ago when I made two batches of root beer. It was basically a full gallon of root beer, but separated into four bottles like the Mr. Beer. I'm like, oh, hey, this is good. Then I said, all right, let's make our own ice cream. So made a batch of homemade vanilla ice cream. The kids were having some ice cream. And of course, you guys ever made homemade ice cream before?
Oh, yeah. We put it in a can with rock salt and you kicked the can around the yard.
Well, no, I'm just saying, you ever tasted it afterwards? It tastes a lot like soft serve ice cream.
It does. That's the heavy cream.
I'm going to put it this way. I have never had a tastier root beer float than the homemade one I made with that.
I don't know. One with that bourbon was pretty good.
Oh, well, that's different. That's not a root beer float. That's a float of another variety. But
Dad got a few minutes, you know, downtime.
Yeah. I'm just saying that the root beer float I made with the homemade root beer and the homemade ice cream was so tasty. We need to do it again. My kids and I.
When I was in Cub Scouts and Boy Scouts, we had the Criswells. That was their family name. They would go out every year and they'd buy a brand new plastic garbage can. And they'd get dry ice and they'd get all the ingredients they need and they make a garbage can full of root beer, and they have one of those. You ever seen those old movies, westerns, where they come up and they dip the water in the thing and they dump it in for you? It's got handle. Yeah. That's how you got the root beer out of this garbage can. And so every time we had a Cub Scout picnic or Boy Scout picnic, that was their drink, was the Criswell's homemade root beer out of the garbage can.
That's kind of cool. Actually, very cool. That can actually be one of the things we talk about in the next week or two. Would be like some of the fun things we are planning to do this summer. That's one of the things I'm planning to do, is make root beer and homemade ice cream with my kids.
I thought you were going to say you wanted a beer kit, because I have one downstairs I haven't used yet.
I've got a couple, but some of the ones I've got in my garage in the process of cleaning it the past couple days, I found them. Like, oh, I haven't used this one. And then I see that on the cans it says best if used by, you know, 2015. I'm like, oh,
yeah. It's probably not bad.
I'm sure it's not.
Most expiration dates are, you know.
Yeah. If it says use by, I might get rid of it. If it says best by, I'll probably give it a shot.
I need to get a beer kit, homebrew kit.
Yeah, I have some homebrews in the garage if you want to take them home and try them.
Yeah. I mean, they do come out. They come off pretty good.
I just need the bottles back. And the fair warning is the nut brown ale, which is really, really good. I didn't let it ferment quite long enough, so it's kind of a volcanic beer.
So when you
open it fizzes. There's a lot of fizz to it.
Yeah. Well, that'll be interesting. Kind of like going to the bar and you're not paying attention to your long neck and your buddy takes his and goes
bank.
Yep.
Right on top of yours. And next thing you know, your whole beer is foaming, exploding at the bar.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So if I made a mistake. It still tastes good once you get past that.
Yeah.
That's like, I had somebody once tell me, like, oh, you know, I'm not going to spend this much for beer. I'm like, look, if I'm going to go out to a bar, I want to spend a couple extra bucks for some very good beer in the beginning. I'll spend really, really little for the cheap stuff at the end.
Well, here's the thing. I don't know if you guys have noticed this. When you're 17, 18 and buying beer for the first time, I know it's illegal, but admit it. We did it somehow, some way. We bought the cheapest beer possible. If you're in Western New York, it was Jenny Cream Ale. They call them Jenny Screamers for a reason. Or it was Old Milwaukee, which we called Old Mud. Now that we've gotten older, our beer tastes have shifted to more expensive beer.
Yeah, and it's all in
all
order.
All our drinks, actually.
It's all in order at the supermarket, too. I got a friend in college who at one point said, yeah, I was walking down this one street, and this guy was, you know, one of the beggars on the street was asking for some extra change. And he looked at him and goes, dude, I'm in college. I have no money, and I'm carrying a 30-pack of Natural Light. Do you really think I have any money
Oh, my God.
I'm like, oh, my God.
But it's like you're saying, when you go to, like, the grocery store, like when you go to Tops, you come down the dairy aisle, right, from the milk, and you start walking down towards where the beer's at. At the very beginning is Natty Ice and Bud Ice and Jenny and all that other stuff. And as you get further down, you start getting into the more you know, refined beers. So you start getting into Southern Tiers and Big Ditch and Founders Brewery.
The funny
and
thing is the dividing line is all the Canadian stuff.
Yeah.
I find that amusing. You got the Labatt's and the Molson right on the dividing line. And then you got all of everything Bobby just mentioned, plus some of like the Blue Moon, the Angry Orchard, some of the more craft designer type ones.
But Blue Moon is good. Especially I drink the crap out of Blue Moon when I go to Renaissance Festival.
Oh, no. I'm not saying Blue Moon is bad. I prefer some of the flavors of Blue Moon rather than Blue Moon itself. I think the cinnamon horchata one that I was in the box
with. Oh, the cinnamon horchata.
Yeah, that one's really good.
Yeah, the horchata one was not bad.
There is a Game of Thrones beer that's brewed by Amagang out of Cooperstown. Oh, so good.
I tried some of the Game of Thrones.
This was an IPA. It was really good.
I bet it was. I tried the barley wine, which was the one with Cersei on it, I believe.
Okay.
I couldn't stand it. And then they had...
Well, most people couldn't stand Cersei anyway, so that, I guess, you know, makes sense.
Yeah. Then there was another one I tried. I didn't really care much for either of the two I tried. So one had Tyrion on it, the other one had Cersei, and I didn't.
Tyrion
really,
one was a shorter bottle.
No, just just as
I see what you did there.
You know, just as big as the bottle with Cersei.
Do you
on
have
it,
any idea how long I've waited to make a big person joke?
Well, they made a Game of Thrones calendar, and Peter Dinklage was actually on the in February, and he goes, "Hey, the shortest person in the cast, you gave me the shortest month." He's like, "This will not be forgotten." I was like, "Wow." Wow.
I got a friend of mine who on Twitter decided that he was going to live tweet the final episode having never seen any previous episodes. And he and his wife are watching, and Peter Dinklage comes on screen, and he goes, "Yep, my wife just now said he's an angry elf." I'm like, okay. So, fun stuff. But
it is. I think we'll wrap this one up here.
Yeah, we're being told to wipe this one up by my five-year-old, who's like, "I need to go home." So yep.
She's tired after a long day of half day of school.
That's right. Half day of I'm so looking forward to full days next year. It's going to be so much fun.
We're going to talk about summer vacations coming up. And by summer vacations, I'm talking about school's out.
Yeah. Are you looking
not
forward
going
to
going away,
are
but
you are you looking
you know,
forward to summer
school's
vacation?
Out.
Yeah.
And what we're going to do in that time.
You want summer vacation, not school. Okay.
All right.
She's spoken.
Well, for Raina.
Yeah.
And Howie. Me.
Yep.
And Bobby. Yeah. I'm Craig. Thanks for listening. Have a good night. When you have kids, you often find yourself involved with lots of extracurricular activities. In my house, we go to dance. All four of my daughters have gone to Classical Ballet of Western New York. With two locations, Main Street in Clarence and Main Street in beautiful downtown Lockport, Classical Ballet of Western New York is a fun way for your children to learn the fine art of dance. This school provides an extensive ballet education for its students. Classical Ballet of Western New York is a cultural institution aiming to enhance the lives of the youths of the community. They strive to develop its students physically, intellectually, culturally, emotionally, and socially through the discipline of dance. Classes start in September with performances of the Nutcracker in December and a single recital for each studio in June. There are also summer workshops available. Call 631-1582 for more information or visit them on the web at www.classicalballetofwny.com. Simply click the link at the bottom of our page and you'll be there without all that typing. Our family literally visits these studios 6 days a week, and we've made many new friends while sitting in the waiting room while our kids dance. So if there's a kid in your family who loves dance, from your 3 or 4 year old all the way through high school, boys or girls, check out Classical Ballet of Western New York at 58 Main Street in Lockport or 8180 Main Street in Clarence, and tell them the dad sent you. The Dads Must Be Crazy would like to thank Scott Leffler for putting together our awesome intro to the show. And thank you to Amanda Hodge, who helps us with our designs and logos. Intro and outro music provided by Incomtech.com. Our theme music is Retro Future Clean by Kevin McLeod, licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0 license.